Good morning. I just want to welcome you here. My name is Charlie. I'm one of the pastors here at Two Rivers Bible Church. I just got a simple question for you guys this morning. Are you all ready to get weird? Some of us are already there. Some of us are already weird. But we really want to focus on getting weird. We want to live a weird life because we're starting a five-week series on weird because normal isn't working. And when I look at this sermon series title, Weird Because Normal Isn't Working, there's a few things that I kind of think we need to get in line first, and so we're on the same page and we're going the same direction. And when you think about getting weird, there's a lot of weird in this world. For me, I think it's weird to wear shoes. I'm just saying. I just think it's weird. But when you say weird, we have to define which weird we want to be. Because we have weird in a bad way. And I want you to think about that for just a second. Weird in a bad way. And when I say that, do you have a picture that comes to mind? Do you have something that you've experienced in your life that you're like, that was weird in a bad way? Maybe it was that kid at school that was weird in a bad way. And maybe that kid was you. I don't know. But what if I say weird in a good way? Are you getting those pictures in your mind already of things that were weird in a good way? You know, for example, maybe it was that kid at school that was weird in a good way, and maybe that was you. But there's also a third weird, and this is the weird that we want to focus on today, and that's weird in a God way. And this Bible is just full of weird things that we're going to start discovering today and over the next 5 weeks. But we say in the sermon title, in the series title, weird because normal isn't working. So I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to try to figure out what we say when we say normal. And one of the things that that I did was I went to my trusty smartphone and I went to my dictionary and I looked up normal. And normal is the standard. It's what's common. It's what everyone is doing. It's the common practice. It's acceptable. So now then, we understand that normal is the majority of what people are doing or where they're going. So let's jump into Scripture really quick. And let me step forward. I can't go backwards. Let's step into Scripture really quick and see what Scripture says about normal and weird. So if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Let me turn my Bible right side up. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, and what I have on the screen is the it's the same version. I thought I was going to put, we were going to do different. Okay, so I'm reading from the ESV. So yours may be just a little different. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by that gate are many. So right there, we're already seeing that that's normal. The wide gate is normal because that's what sets the standard. That's what everybody's doing. That's the direction that people are going. So that road is easy. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find life are few. What we're seeing here, Scripture is that's wide, that's easy, that everybody's going down, that's common, that's acceptable to go down, is leading to destruction. But few go to the narrow path. And that's just weird, to go the hard way. Who wants to always choose the hard way first? We want to go easy. We want it to be easy. But to be weird, we have to choose the hard way. But let's look at some things in this world that are normal. And let's just kind of dig through some of this stuff. So we kind of know, we know what the definition is, but let's kind of look at some things. Normal is being overwhelmed, rushed, stressed out, and broke. That's normal. What we want to do is we want to get our debt card. Some people call them a credit card. I call them a debt card because we go out, we get a loan on money that we don't have. We go buy things that we don't need and can't afford to impress people that we don't know or don't even like. And so we find ourselves digging ourselves into debt. And so now then we find ourselves overwhelmed because we have so much debt and we have so much stress because we're trying to make our bills and we're trying to get those things paid off. And we find ourselves in a job that we're working for a paycheck and we don't even like our job, but we're just trying to keep our head above water. That's normal in this society today. Something else that I just found is normal. I'm not a sports fan. I don't know if you guys can tell that or not, but this is not an athletic body by any stretch of any imagination. And so I don't watch sports, and I don't watch ESPN. But I just spent a week in a hotel room with teenage boys. So guess what was on TV? ESPN. Yeah, sports, ESPN. And I learned what is a common normal practice in college sports today is cheating to win. That's normal. I was like taken back by that. I was shocked. I also got to watch a little bit of Good Morning America. And I see something else that's coming about to be normal by the millennials. And those are the 18 to 34 year olds. And what they're doing is beta marriages. A beta marriage is a contract that you enter into with somebody for 2 years to try out if you want to be married or not. And at the end of that two-year contract, you separate, go your separate ways. There's no divorce. There's no legal ramifications whatsoever. And so now then you can free to go get married. That's normal. Or that's becoming normal. But let me tell you about what's normal in marriage. What's normal in marriage today is 51% divorce rate among first-time marriages. That's normal. Let me tell you what's sad is that in the Christian world, that 51% divorce rate is normal. That's sad. These millennials that are trying out these beta marriages, which is just a fancy word for shacking up, you are 40% more likely to end in divorce if you live with someone before you get married to them. So they're not helping themselves out at all. But that's normal. Those things are normal today. You know, one of the things that's normal is what I call the McDonald's shuffle. And some of you may not be familiar with the McDonald's shuffle. I've participated in it. I've done it. I've witnessed it. I've seen it many times. The McDonald's shuffle is when you see someone sitting in their minivan. Typically, it's probably a woman sitting there by herself. And she's in a minivan, and she's waiting. She's not getting out and going in. A few minutes later, you'll see a car pull up, typically not a minivan. And you'll see a guy in the car with a bunch of kids. And they get out of the car, and the kids get out with their suitcases and their backpacks, and they shuffle over, and they get into the minivan. And they go home with mom. And that's normal. And that's sad that that's normal. So as we look at weird because normal isn't working, then we have to say something else. We have to ask the question, if you want what normal people have, you have to do what normal people do. But if you want what few people have, do what few people do. That's a lot to be said. Let me say that again. If you want what normal people have, do what normal people do. If you want what few people have, do what few people do. And we already see through Matthew that the path is wide, and it's well-traveled, and it's easy. But the path that leads to eternal life is narrow, and it's hard, and few people make that way that way. But you know, as we get into Scripture, as we start getting into this book, and we're going to say, okay, I want to do what few people do. I'm going to go that path. We're going to start reading, and we're going to start reading some really weird stuff. I'm talking about some really weird stuff. One of the things that you're going to read is, do not commit adultery. Don't even lust. With a divorce rate so high, that's got to be weird to do that. One of the things that you'll read in here that I think is just really weird, first will be last, and last will be first. But wait a minute, isn't that the society that we live in today? Is I want to be first. I want to be the first one in line. I want to be the first one to get my tickets. I want to be the first one with the big house in the neighborhood. I want to be the first one in my, you know, in my neighborhood to have the new car. I want to be first. But Scripture is telling us that the first will be last, and last will be first. And so that's interesting. We'll also read in here that's pretty weird, is serve others. Serve others. Wait a minute. I want you to serve me. I want to be able to sit down and have someone serve me. I want you to take care of my needs. Isn't that what's kind of normal? Isn't that what we kind of want? Just our nature, we want that? And guys, how many of us want to go home at the end of the day and have our wife serve us instead of us serving them? So that's weird to put someone else in front of you, put their needs in front of you, put their wants in front of your wants. That's weird. What about to give? You know, we read in here to give. Right off the bat, first thing, off the paycheck, take 10% and give it to God. It's weird. I need that money to pay my bills. I've already calculated it out. I don't have enough. And now that I've got to take 10% and give it away, that's weird. But you know, I'm going to tell you what's really weird is when you do that, how God shows up, how he meets your needs. Really cool. There's something else that's weird that you'll read in here. To find life, you have to lose it. Wait a minute. I got to lose my life to find life? How does that work? That's weird. Well, what about this? If someone wrongs you, if someone does something wrong to you, what do? You get even? Do you plot revenge? Do you come out on top after all? Scripture tells us to forgive them. And not just forgive them, but continuously forgive them. Over and over and over. That's weird. That's not the normal in this society that we live in today. We don't want to forgive someone that has wronged us, because we want to be right. We want to be first. But if we're going to live what this book says, we got to get weird. We got to get really weird. And so our first point today, you can go ahead and throw our first point up there. Don't think like normal people think. Okay, so if we're not going to think like normal people think, some of the things that we're going to think about are going to change. We're going to think differently about our time, aren't we? We're going to think differently about our money. You know, Christian and I just went to Dallas this week, and we spent some time with some friends. And they were in Dallas at a conference, and they had a free day. And so we went up to visit them, and they asked us, they go, would it be okay if we go car shopping while we hang out with you guys? And we're like, sure, we don't mind. You know, we're just here to hang out with you guys, so we'll do that. So we went car shopping. They started looking for a convertible Mercedes. And I'm like, dude, I'll go with you to what you get in debt. I have no problem doing that. He's like, no, we're paying cash. We've been saving. He thinks differently with his money. If he wanted it, he's saving for it. That's weird. So being weird is going to make us think differently about our money, our relationships. We're going to think differently about them. We're going to think, you know what? I'm going to serve my spouse. I'm going to put my spouse before me. I'm going to think differently about that. I'm going to think differently about sex. Since we have little ones in the room, we're just going to skim on past that. We'll just leave it at that. We're going to think differently about our values. What is important to us? We're going to think differently about that. So don't think like normal people think. And if you want to know how normal people think, watch TV. Watch TV. That's going to show you how normal people think. And I'm going to just give you some examples. And I'm only using this as examples, okay? But before I do that, I got to read a piece of scripture that'll make a little bit more sense, okay? So let's return to Romans chapter 2 really quick. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by it, by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so when you read that passage, we're seeing right off, don't be conformed to this world. So that's telling us that we have some outside influences. We have some things that are on the outside that's shaping us and pushing us and molding us and getting us to go down the path that they want us to go down. But it says to renew your mind. Well, how do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by reading God's word. You get into his word. You know what it says. You read all this weird stuff. And once you start reading this weird stuff and you have that weird stuff in your heart, then it starts coming out in your actions, in your behaviors, in your words. And that's how you renew your mind, is you read his word. But let's look at those outside influences, and that's where TV comes in, because TV really influences us, just like our workplace influences us. The people that we work with, we spend so much time with them, they influence us in the way we think and what we do and what we say. Our friends influence us. They shape us. They get us going down a path. Sometimes our family does that. They shape us and they want us to go a certain way. But it may not always be a weird God way that our friends, our workplace, and our family want us to go. And television is one of those outside things that shape us. And they guide us and they help us learn things about things that we may not be familiar with. In the 1950s and 60s, we began to get an understanding of single parenting through television. We saw TV shows like My Three Sons, where there was a single dad leading his family, raising his boys. And so we went on a journey with them. And so that was probably an unfamiliar territory to so many people when that television show came on. But we laughed with them. And we cried with them. And we went through their struggles with them. And we began to understand them a little more and a little more. And then we moved on into the 70s. And late 60s and 70s. And we had a single mothers leading their families, such as the Partridge Family. And One Day at a Time, which was a divorced mother leading her family. And so for some of us, when we watched that television show, that was the first time we had any experience with a divorced family. And now then we're seeing their struggles. We're seeing what they're going through. And it begins to influence us, and it begins to shape our ideas and thoughts about single parenting. In the 70s, we saw the very first blended family on television. We saw the Brady Bunch. It was the first blended family that was on television. Some of us may have never experienced a blended family before. And so through those things, we began to see that divorce and blended families are normal. And that's what everyone was doing. I'm not saying that those things are bad, because we have a blended family. About this. I love my girls that are not my blood like they're mine. But I'm saying that these things shape our opinion. Drug use. Drug use was shaped by movies and television. During the 60s and 70s, drug use was rampant, and we looked down on the people that used them. We called them hippies, didn't we? And so here comes the early 80s, and we had this comedy team called Cheech and Chong. So y'all know them. You were in the theater with me, watching them and laughing at their antics. And we began to laugh at them and relate to them, and we began to accept them as normal. And then a few years later, here comes Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and we all laughed at the guys piling out of the van with all the smoke just pouring out of it. And now then, today, we find ourselves with states that have legalized marijuana. Here's a real touchy one. This is an influence that television has had on us. It began in the 70s with a television show called Soap. And Billy Crystal played a gay character on that television show. And for me, that was my first experience with that. And we laughed at him, and we cried with him, and we went through his journey. And as we progressed through the years, we had television shows like Ellen and Will and Grace, and we laughed at them, and we cried with them. And we were introduced to something that we may not be familiar with. And so television has been one of those outside influences that's helped shape us as a nation. And today we have many states that have legalized same-sex marriage. So I'm saying that so that you are aware of the things that influence us, that shape us, that guide us. Because we don't want to go down the path that's wide and easy. We want to choose the one that's narrow and it's hard, so we can get weird and we can do some weird things. Our next point is, don't live like normal people live. Wow. Don't live like normal people live. Let's kind of flip over here to 1 Peter really quick. We're going to be in chapter 2 this time, verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Now, your version may have said aliens and strangers. And when I read that, I think that's weird, because this earth is not my home. I was born here. I live here. I'm going to die here. But it's not my home. My home is in heaven. My home, my citizenship, my passport should read heaven, not this earth. And so that's weird that we're not members of this planet. But as we're here, excuse me, we need to live a little differently. God has called us to be weird because we see in Scripture that He's called us not to have affairs. He's called us not to cheat, not to lie, not to hate, not to get angry, not to get even. He's called us to a life that when they speak against us, first of all, it's not going to stick. And secondly, they're going to see your good deeds. And most importantly, they're going to glorify God when they say those things about you. And so that's kind of weird that we don't want to live like normal people live, because we've already established that we buy the big house so that we can keep up with the Joneses, right? We want to have the fancy house. We want to buy into the American dream of the house and the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and a dog. I never get the half kid thing. But anyway, it's what we buy into. But there's a passage that I want us to go to just a second. This is kind of off base just a little bit. And this one's kind of for free. So you can turn with me over to Luke if you want to. I'm going to be Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to be in verse 57. And when I think about not living like normal people live, this passage just kind of jumps out at me, and it says, it's Jesus. He's having a conversation with some guys on the road, and it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's weird, because what he's saying is, if you follow me, you may not have the big house. You may not be living the kind of lifestyle that you're accustomed to when you decide to follow me. And that's just weird, because the American dream is have the big house, have the fancy car, have the picket fence, all of those things. But here's the one that I want us to really look at. He says, to another, he said, follow me. So the first guy said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. But Jesus saw something in somebody else, and he goes, I want you to follow me. And the guy said to him, he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And when I read that, I'm like, man, that's weird. Aren't we supposed to love our family? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you guys, but you can talk bad about me all you want to, but don't mess with my family. And I'm sure all you guys are the same way, because I love my family. My family means everything to me. They're very important to me. They encourage me. Christian lets me come home at night, so I have a roof over my head. It's great. But this scripture is saying, let the dead bury their dead. Jesus isn't telling this guy to forget your family, that you have to leave your family behind to come and follow me and just proclaim the kingdom of God. What Jesus is saying to this guy, he goes, as much as you love your family, and I know you love your family, but I want your love for me to be so great, to be so outrageous, to be so weird, that your love for your family looks like hate to the world. He's not telling you to hate your family and leave them alone. He's just saying he wants your love for him to be that much greater than the love for your family. And that's weird. That's just really weird. So what I'm wanting to say today is get weird. Okay, live weird. But don't copy somebody else's weird. Because there is not a cookie cutter weird out there. God has a weird just for you. So next week, I don't want to see everybody in flip-flops. Okay? This is my weird. All right? But live on less, give more. It's a weird idea, but get weird. Serve others. Serve others. You know, you can do that in so many different places. You can serve others in the community. We have opportunities to serve out there with Helping Hands. You can find something to do on your own to serve others. You can come to church and serve others. You can serve in kids' church. You can serve back in the sound booth, which is such an important ministry of this church. You can serve on the coffee bar, in the greeters, as an usher. But you're serving and giving of your time to someone else. And that's weird. Let's get weird like that. Are you sick of being normal? Are you sick of being overwhelmed, stressed, and broke? Let's get weird. But you may be sitting here this morning and you may be going, Charlie, I just don't know how to get weird. Because I don't know this guy, Jesus, that you're talking about. And I'm just going to go ahead and have the band come on up and start playing. But I want to give you an opportunity this morning to get to know this guy named Jesus. Jesus did something weirder than anybody else on this planet. He died for us. Because we, by nature, are sinful people. But because of the work that Christ did on the cross, he built a bridge for us that we can have fellowship. We can have a relationship with God. Let's pray.